Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. I was actually thinking when we were watching that video for the Christmas boxes, and it was cool to see and hear how the kids would open up the box, and they said, it's cool how God delivered like the right box to the right person, you know, and how God is intertwined in that. And it's sometimes we think that, man, I wish God does that. I wish God would do that in my life, or I wish God would do that here, and he does. It's crazy if we pay attention to what God's doing in our lives and in our midst, the things that he does. That's correct English. There we go. I promise you I'll get it right sometime. But even in this series, like, you know, we're in this midst of this Life on Mission series, and we had kind of launched this in September, and then we decided we were going to do a fall fest to reach out to the community, outreach, Life on Mission, and it just so happened to fit right into the middle of this series. It's cool. You know, that's totally a God thing. We're so quick to say, oh, that's a coincidence. No, that's a divine appointment, and so I'm excited to do that. Here in a couple weeks, next week we'll finish up our Life on Mission series, and then the following week, it just so happened that one of the missionaries that our denomination supports, Tracy Godoy from the Godoy family, they're down in Chile, and they run some missions work down there through the Puertos ministry, and you kind of heard some of that, and we kind of have sent some money and support there. I've been emailing her, like, hey, you know, maybe we could connect and maybe send some people down, because that's my goal, is that we go down and do some mission work somewhere. And so her and I have been emailing back and forth a couple different times, and just so happens she's in the States. And so here in 2 weeks, she's going to be, you know, after we finish this Life on Mission series, the next week, she's going to be here. She's going to share with us on Sunday morning for about 10 minutes the stuff that's going on and the things they're doing. I was like, man, that's awesome. That's cool how God does that. And then I was like, we'll probably launch another series, and then that'll take us right up to Christmas, because we only have, like, after that, we only have, like, one more series before Christmas. That's crazy to think about. Then I ended up getting another email from Pastor Wayne and said, hey, I just so happen to have a missionary friend in the States, and he's from Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa, and he's looking to speak at different churches and areas, and, you know, you guys would be blessed if he'd come and share. And I said, sure, and just so happened to be it's on the 30th. And so when the Tracy Godoy's here from Chile, giving us kind of an update on missions there, also Pastor Nathaniel will be here with us from Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa, to tell about the mission work that he's doing, the work that he's doing with his church in West Africa, and he's going to give the sermon and things like that. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Like, here we are talking about missions and being Life on Mission, and just when we wrap up the series, we have two missionaries in the States from other countries that'll be here on that Sunday to talk. And I was like, that's awesome how God works that out and things like that. So I'm excited. I hope you guys come and as they share and you know, all that God's doing in their ministries all over the world. And so it's gonna be neat. I think we're just gonna call it Mission Sunday. We hadn't even planned on all this, and so it just happens. And so you just learn to roll with it. And that's what we're doing today. We're learning to roll with this weather coming in, and we're praying that God will just split the storms and things are going to be good as we reach out to the community. You know, Satan's going to try all he can to make this not happen, and so I'm excited even more then to see all that God's going to do. And like I said, we're continuing our Life on Mission series, God's people finding God's heart for the world, and we're here on this earth for a purpose, and we've talked about this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's kind of our theme verse for this series, and it says Jesus tells us what our purpose is, and he said, you'll be my what? You'll be my what? Witnesses, right? Witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, so your neighborhood, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Not witnessing. Witnesses. It's something we do. It's not something we do. It's who we are. It's who we are. And the first people we are to witness to is our neighbors, those around us. And then the last several weeks, we've been walking through some action steps in order to take to just do that. And the first action step we talked about is connecting. Just building relationships with people. It's what we're going to do today. We're going to connect with people today. Just build relationships. Just tell them what we care about them and that we're here for them. Connect with people who don't know Jesus. You can have your Christian friends. That's good. But if you are not connecting with people who are far from God, how can you be on mission? You can't be on mission. Build relationships. The next step we talked about is serve. Serve. finding tangible ways to serve your neighbors, right? Once you have built a relationship with people, then you'll begin to, then they will begin to open up more, and you will see areas in which you can serve them. So do it. Last week we talked about share. Share what? Share Jesus, right? And here's the thing, when talking to someone, realize that you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. Remember the story of the blind guy that we talked about last week? Jesus healed the blind guy. And everyone was asking him all these different questions. They were asking him all these different questions. And how did he respond? He said, look, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know any of these answers you're asking me, these questions you're asking, answers to the questions you're asking me. The only thing I know is I was blind and now I see. I was blind and now I see. He didn't make things up. He just said, here's the fact from my life. I was blind, but now I see. Just tell your story. Just tell your story. Tell about what your life was like before Christ and how your life has changed since giving your life to Christ. No one is an expert on your life except you. So just tell your story. The fourth action step is grow. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, discipleship, coming alongside others and helping them grow in their relationship with Jesus, doing it together. Because here's the thing, we were made to do life together. Together is better. There were two old guys who were pushing their carts around Walmart when they collided. And the first one said to the second one, sorry about that, I'm looking for my wife and I guess I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. The second old guy said, that's okay, it's a coincidence. I'm looking for my wife too. I can't find her and I'm getting a little desperate. The first guy said, well, maybe we can work together. What does your wife look like? The second guy says, well, you probably won't believe this, but she's 32 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes, and a great figure. What does your wife look like? To which the first guy says, doesn't matter, let's look for yours. Together is better. Growing in our relationships with Jesus together. Bob George writes, in my opinion, many Christians look at their salvation in Jesus Christ in the same way a teenager viewed a wedding I was performing with glassy eyes. She exclaimed, I want to get married. Notice she did not say, I want to be married. Merely, I want to get married. In her youthful understanding, to get married meant to have her day in the sun, to be the center of attention and to wear a beautiful gown. Taking this way of thinking to its logical conclusion, I can easily imagine her wedding. Right after the pronouncement of husband and wife, she expels a huge sigh of relief. Thanks the minister for conducting the ceremony. Thanks the guest for coming, and then turns to her groom. Giving his hand a vigorous shake, she expresses her sincere thanks to him for saving her from singleness. Then she goes out the side door, gets into a taxi, and goes home. Her goal has been achieved. She got married. We often look at receiving Christ as the end of something. Escape from judgment and hell, rather than beginning of a new relationship of growing intimacy with our loving Lord. Paul says, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Why? Why does God care what we're like here on this earth? It goes back to the same question of why does God even leave us here on the earth in the first place, doesn't it? And if you were here last week, we got a little help from Ray Romano from Everybody Loves Raymond, who says it's just heavily congestion. You know, heaven's really congested up there, and so he has to stay down here because of heavily congestion, right? That's not the answer, right? The reason God doesn't beam you up, Scotty, as soon as you become a Christian, didn't you know that a couple times in the Bible, there were a couple times in the Bible where God actually did that? Do you know that? Enoch was one of them in the Old Testament. Back in the Genesis days, it said Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. And then in the New Testament, and I believe it's in Hebrews, says he never died. He just got, God just beamed him up. He was evidently so close to God that God decided not to wait any longer to bring him up into heaven with him. Guess he's not in that big of a hurry for me, right? No, that's not why God leaves us here. It's not based on how much he wants us up there. It's based on how much he has for us to do down here. That's why we're here. And what God wants us to do is to help other people find their way back to him. So how do we do that? As we grow to be like Jesus, they want to know Jesus. It's that simple. As we grow to be like Jesus, they will want to know Jesus. It's the same reason Jesus came down to live here for 33 years before he offered up the sacrifice for our sins, was so that Jesus could demonstrate what God was like. Loving, merciful, holy, just, forgiving. All the things that God is, Jesus was. If you see Jesus, you will want to be with God. If you see Jesus in us, you will want to be with God. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason we should grow spiritually, because very obviously, my non-Christian-like behavior is not going to point anyone in the right direction, right? If I want to show Jesus, I need to grow to be like Jesus, and so do you. So that when people see my driving or my parenting or my husbanding, I don't even know if that's a word, but we'll go with it, or my neighboring, they will see God through me, right? That doesn't mean we're perfect. That definitely doesn't mean we're holier than thou. It's genuine Christianity that points to a genuine God. So how do we grow spiritually? Read the Bible, pray, go to church, sure. I believe in all that, but I think there's more. And it has to do with this idea that together is better. The first way I believe we can grow spiritually is, the first one is encourage each other's growth. We just encourage each other's growth. Sounds pretty simple, and it is. But it's something. Is this something we actually do? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. We build each other up. The world isn't doing this. They're tearing us down. So how can we build each other up? Well, the first thing we can do is acceptance. Acceptance. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you. Just as Christ has accepted you. It's so hard to accept people when they're different than you, isn't it? If you are a neat freak, you may look down on those who aren't, right? If you are wealthy, you may look down on those who aren't. If you are a blue collar, you may look down on those who are white collar. If you're an Ohio State fan, right? You may look down on those who are Michigan fans, right? Accept them where they are at. Accept them where they're at. The next thing is, how can we build each other up is attention. Attention. So we have acceptance and attention. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Here's a general principle. Whatever you pay attention to is going to grow, right? I mean, whatever you pay attention to is going to grow. If you pay attention to your garden, it's going to grow. That's why we haven't had a garden in 2 years, because we just don't actually really even give a rip. We just thought you planted seeds and went out and then picked it up and you ate it. No, I guess you have to pay attention to it. So ours didn't grow. If you pay attention to your kids, they're going to grow. If you pay attention to your marriage, it's going to grow and get better, right? If you pay attention to your work, that's going to grow. The greatest gift of love you can give is focused attention. You know, you can affirm people by just looking them in the eye. Did you know that? You can affirm people just by looking them in the eye. And just by looking them in the eye, you're saying, I value you. What you have to say is important to me because you matter to me. So let me ask you, who do you tend to overlook? It's often the people closest to you. Who do you tend to overlook? If you overlook the receptionist at work, do you overlook the secretary there? Do you overlook the mail person? Who is the person who is in your life all the time, but you just don't see them because you're too busy doing something else? Look for opportunities to show attention to the people in your life. Pay attention. The next way to build relationships with each other is affection. Affection. I want everybody do this. Everybody stand up right now. I know, everybody's like, oh man, I was getting comfortable. Some of you guys were like, I was sleeping. Now I gotta get up. I just want you to turn around and hug someone. Just turn around and hug someone. Hug a couple people if you need to. All right, sit down. That was enough affection in this place. Now, I know there were two reactions to what we just did. Some of you are thinking, I'm never coming back to this church again. And the smarter ones are thinking, next week I'm sitting by somebody cute. Right? Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. UCLA did a study a while back and discovered that to be a healthy, fulfilled, satisfied adult, you need 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day. 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day. Handshakes, hugs, pat on the back, a little squeeze. You need touches in your life in order to grow and to be all that God wants you to be. The need for affection goes way beyond these walls. We are called to reach our community, right? So here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go all over the community and just hug everybody this week. Can you do that? Seriously. Just go hug people. And if they look at you weirded out, just say, my pastor asked me to do this. Okay? Can you do that? And if they're really freaked out, just tell them you go to a different church. Okay? But seriously, do that. The last way we build each other up is appreciation. Appreciation. We affirm each other's worth with appreciation. Appreciation means to raise in value, right? Our houses appreciate. And then our cars depreciate as soon as we drive them off the lot, right? They go down in value. Appreciation means to raise in value. Every time you appreciate someone, you raise their value to you and to others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, brothers, we ask you to show your appreciation for those who work hard among you. Set an example for you in the Lord and instruct you. Show your appreciation for all those who volunteer in the nursery, in the kids' connection downstairs, Sunday school teacher, secretary, youth leader, small group leader. Show your appreciation for our volunteers here at the church who work hard here at FBC. When's the last time you thanked a volunteer? Thank anyone who you see doing something to make the experience at FBC a great one. Encourage each other's growth. Build each other up. The second way we grow spiritually, so that's encourage each other's growth. The second way we grow spiritually is we pray for each other's growth. We pray for each other's growth. In the book of Colossians, it mentions a guy named Epaphras. Oh, these stupid flies are back. And if you talk to Mary or Bradley, Man, it was World War III in my office this week with the flies. Man, I was like, I was literally about to pack it up one day and go home because these flies were frustrating me. Anyways, back to the, that was a little trail I went down anyways. But a guy named Epaphras, and it says about him in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, that Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. This guy prayed for people's spiritual growth. We usually pray for people's needs, if they have a health need or a financial need, and we should pray for these things, but we don't spend nearly enough time praying for people's spiritual growth. I think one of the reasons probably is we just don't know what to pray about. We just don't know what to pray about. How would I pray for somebody's spiritual growth? Well, fortunately, the Bible is filled with verses about how to pray for somebody to grow spiritually. Ephesians chapter 3, 18 and 19. I pray that you'll be able to feel and understand how long, wide, deep, and high Christ's love really is, and to experience this love for yourself. Hebrews 13, 21. I pray that you'll always be eager to do what is right. Romans 15, 13. I pray God who gives hope and will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Ephesians 1, 17. I pray God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. I pray the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. Ephesians 3, 16. I pray that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. As you're spending time with your neighbors and in your life groups, pray for each other's spiritual growth. And the last way we grow spiritually is admitting your mistakes. Just admitting your mistakes. By admitting our mistakes, we build community, intimacy, relationships faster than any other way. Tell the truth about yourself, your fears, your doubts, your hang-ups. Stop faking it. Stop faking it. A cowboy walked into a blacksmith shop, and he saw a horseshoe on the ground and bent over to pick it up. What he didn't know was the blacksmith had just been working in the fire on the horseshoe. The instant he picked it up, he dropped it. And the blacksmith asked, "Kind of hot?" The cowboy, wanting to keep his tough image intact, said, "Nope. Just don't take me very long to look at a horseshoe." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." Confession just means admitting what's going on in your life. You know, I'm having some doubts today. You admit it. That's confession. You know, I'm worried about such and such. That's a confession. You know, I'm feeling a little lonely today. That's a confession. You know, I'm having a hard time forgiving that person. That's a confession. You know, I just don't know why, but I feel depressed. I feel discouraged today. That's a confession. And when you are honest about what's going on in your life, you're not blaming anybody else for it, it draws you closer to them and those closer to you. Now, why in the world would anybody do that? Why would anybody risk honesty? Because it's worth the risk. Stop blaming others. Be honest and admit your mistakes. Has anybody ever been to the Alamo? Anybody? A couple of you. I've heard that in the Alamo, on a wall near the main entrance, is a portrait. Did anybody see this? A portrait with the following inscriptions. James Butler Bonham. No picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. There is no literal picture of Jesus. I don't care what you say, the pictures that we have of Jesus probably aren't what Jesus looked like. I mean, that's the picture we always see, and blonde hair, flowing blonde hair, blue eyes, perfect in every way. It's probably not what Jesus really looked like. So we don't have a literal picture of Jesus. But here's the thing. You are to be the literal representation. People will come to know the man who died for our freedom if you closely resemble him. So the question is, do you look more like Christ now than you did 2 years ago? Is the resemblance growing? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that that we're called to grow in you, that we're not supposed to stay dormant. We're not supposed to just stay where we are as new Christians, baby Christians, Father, but we're called to grow in you. And as long as we're here on this earth, we have some growing to do. So, Father, I encourage us as we continue to take our next steps. Father, as we do this Fall Fest this afternoon, I pray that you'll just either make the rain pass or just completely stop for those 3 hours that we're going to have the community here, and that we can just be a blessing to them. We just want to just show them Jesus, just show them love, just connect with them. So, Father, we pray that you'll just bring tons of people here, and we'll just have a fantastic time just getting to know them and letting them know that we care about them and where they're at, and that we're here for them. So, Father, as we continue this Life on Mission series, I pray that it just won't be another series that we just do and we're on to the next thing. But, Father, this will be a lifestyle change for many people, that we will begin to really live our life on mission, what you've called us to do, which is to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I pray that you will continue to encourage us. Father, if there are people here that have been dormant in their Christian faith, I pray that you will just help them step out of that, experience new levels of intimacy with you and those around you, Father. We just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, everything that's going to happen today. And we're just thankful that we have the opportunity to reach people who are far from you.